This is a true crime in real time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I'm Tony Bruschi, and today we dive into the latest twist in the already twisted saga of Lori Vallow Daybell. Now get this, Vallow, already convicted of murdering her two youngest children and her husband's former wife, wants to fire her lawyer and defend herself in her upcoming Arizona murder trial. If that doesn't make you raise an eyebrow, hold on. It's even more complicated. The judge hasn't made a decision yet. Why? He's waiting on mental health experts to decide whether she's even fit to stand trial. What drives someone already branded a doomsday mom and locked away for life to think they're qualified to defend themselves against murder charges? Is this about control, mental illness? Or is it just another bizarre act in a story that's already hard to believe? Whatever the answer, the stakes are high and the outcomes could change everything again. The court filing, dated October 25th, confirmed Lori Vallow Daybell's latest request. She wants to go it alone. Her public defender filed the motion to withdraw on October 21st, and Vallow's request to waive legal representation was submitted even earlier on October 16th. The judge is holding off on making a decision until after she undergoes a mandatory competency evaluation under Arizona's Rule 11. The mental health evaluation now underway involves two experts assessing whether Vallow has the capacity to understand legal proceedings and defend herself effectively. Until then, her trial, initially scheduled for February 2025, has been vacated. This is far from Vallow's first brush with mental health evaluations. Back in Idaho, before her trial for the murders of Tylee Ryan, J.J. Vallow, and Tammy Daybell, she was declared incompetent and spent 9 months in a psychiatric facility. After that stint, the court ruled her competent enough to stand trial, and she was eventually sentenced to life without parole. But the question remains, is her push for self-representation a rational choice or a symptom of deeper issues? This isn't the first time we've seen high-profile defendants try to represent themselves. The legal system generally frowns upon it, and for good reason. It's a dangerous game. Complex legal procedures, the need to cross-examine witnesses, and an understanding of courtroom decorum all make it nearly impossible for a layperson to manage. And let's be honest, if seasoned attorneys can struggle with cases like these, what are the odds that someone like Vallow, with a history of mental illness and delusional thinking, will succeed? And yet, there's something darkly fascinating about watching someone insist on taking the reins when every rational sign points to disaster. There's an argument to be made that this is about control, an attempt to dictate her narrative one last time. After all, Vallow's life has been a tapestry of control and manipulation, from the tightly woven web of lies surrounding her children's deaths to the apocalyptic beliefs she embraced with her husband, Chad Daybell. Control has been a constant theme. The Arizona case presents its own tangled web. Vallow stands accused of conspiring with her brother, Alex Cox, to murder her fourth husband, Charles Vallow. Cox, who shot Charles in 2019, initially claimed self-defense. But prosecutors argue there's more to the story, and they suspect that Vallow manipulated Cox into carrying out her plan. She's also charged with plotting the attempted murder of Brandon Boudreau, her niece's ex-husband, another attack allegedly orchestrated by Cox, who conveniently died of a blood clot months later. Now, her request to represent herself throws a wrench into the already complicated proceedings. The mental health evaluation is crucial because if she's found incompetent and unable to be restored, the case could be dismissed altogether. On the other hand, if she's ruled competent, the judge will have to decide whether to allow her to represent herself, a decision that could determine the trial's outcome. Legal experts warn that the standard for competency is low. A person can suffer from severe mental illness and still be deemed fit to stand trial as long as they understand the basics of courtroom procedures and can assist in their own defense. It's hard not to question whether this is just another calculated move from Vallow. She's known for her ability to manipulate those around her, first drawing her brother into her murderous schemes, then aligning herself with Chad Daybell and his doomsday prophecies. Could this be her way of gaining the upper hand again? Or is it, as some experts suggest, a manifestation of her delusional disorder? Either way, it's a high-risk gamble, one that puts both her freedom and her future on the line. There's also the possibility that Vallow's actions are driven by something even darker, an unrelenting need to maintain control over her narrative, no matter the consequences. In Idaho, she refused to show remorse, instead delivering bizarre statements about her children being busy in the spirit world and receiving messages from Jesus Christ. If those statements are any indication, Vallow may see herself not as a defendant, but as a spiritual warrior on a mission, one that transcends earthly laws and courtrooms. For now, everything hangs on the results of the mental health evaluation. The November 14th hearing will reveal whether Vallow is fit to proceed and, if so, whether the court will allow her to defend herself. Whatever happens next, one thing is clear: this case is far from over, and the twists are likely to keep coming. Lori Vallow Daybell's decision to represent herself in an Arizona courtroom might seem like a reckless, impulsive move, maybe even the product of a disturbed mind, but it fits seamlessly into a pattern we've seen from her before. It's the same pattern that started with the deaths of her children and continued through her alliance with Chad Daybell, steeped in doomsday prophecies and destructive control. There's a method to her madness, or at least a glimpse of one. As the court evaluates whether she's mentally fit to even stand trial, the psychological layer, the fine line between defiance and delusion, is what shapes this latest chapter of her life. It's worth reflecting on Vallow's mental health history to understand how we got here. Diagnosed with delusional disorder and hyper-religiosity, Vallow has long embraced alternative realities. These beliefs aren't simply quirks. They've shaped life-altering decisions, including the horrific actions she took alongside Daybell. Hyper-religiosity in Vallow's case isn't just about extreme faith. It's about a belief system so entrenched that it became the lens through which she viewed her children, her relationships, and even the murders she committed. When she first faced charges in Idaho, she was declared incompetent to stand trial and committed to a mental health facility. After 9 months of treatment, she was deemed competent and stood trial, but her courtroom statements hinted at the persistence of her delusions. She told the court that her children were busy and happy in the spirit world and claimed to have received direct messages from Jesus. To Vallow, the legal system, and perhaps reality itself, seems like a construct she can manipulate, bend, or outright reject when it doesn't fit her narrative. In psychological terms, Vallow's behavior exemplifies traits of narcissistic personality disorder. Narcissists often seek to control not just their surroundings, but the people within them, treating relationships as tools for personal gain. This explains not only her manipulation of Alex Cox, her brother and alleged accomplice, but also her ability to draw in Chad Daybell, aligning their beliefs in a way that justified murder. What's striking is that these actions don't fit neatly into a narrative of insanity. They reflect a chilling capacity for control, carefully disguised under the veil of religious fanaticism. Her attempt to represent herself follows the same thread. It's a demonstration of control, one last grasp at manipulating the system that has already sentenced her to life in Idaho. It's also a tactic often employed by individuals with deep-seated narcissism, removing barriers that prevent them from controlling their own narrative. By eliminating her legal team, Vallow positions herself as the storyteller, the one in control of how her actions are framed during trial. But the question lingers: is this a deliberate strategy or another delusion fueled by her need for control? The Rule 11 evaluation will reveal whether Vallow is mentally fit to proceed, but it won't answer the bigger question. Does she truly understand the consequences of her actions, or is she trapped in a psychological labyrinth of her own making? A person with delusional disorder can appear competent on the surface, capable of reciting facts, participating in legal discussions, but their perception of reality may remain fundamentally flawed. If the court finds Vallow competent, it won't mean that her delusions have disappeared. It will simply mean that she can function within the narrow confines of a legal framework. What makes this case so unsettling is the blurring of lines between belief and manipulation, sanity and delusion. During her Idaho trial, prosecutors emphasized Vallow's belief in light and dark souls, concepts she and Daybell used to justify their murders. The children's deaths, in their view, were acts of salvation, freeing them from the darkness they believed had consumed them. In her mind, these weren't acts of violence, but of redemption, carried out with divine purpose. This kind of belief system raises difficult questions. Where does personal accountability end and mental illness begin? And how do we judge someone whose moral compass seems to point in an entirely different direction? Vallow's attempt to represent herself adds yet another layer to the ethical and legal challenges surrounding her case. Allowing her to act as her own attorney could backfire spectacularly, both for her and the justice system. A pro se defense risks turning the courtroom into a stage for her delusions, disrupting the proceedings and potentially undermining the seriousness of the charges she faces. At the same time, denying her request could raise questions about the court's respect for her autonomy and legal rights, particularly if she's found competent to make the decision. But there's another possibility, one that's both chilling and entirely plausible. What if Vallow knows exactly what she's doing? What if her request to represent herself isn't just a manifestation of mental illness, but a calculated move? It wouldn't be the first time she's outmaneuvered those around her. She manipulated her brother into killing for her, orchestrated her children's disappearances, and embraced a doomsday belief system that justified every horrific act she committed. This might be her final power play, an attempt to take back control of a narrative that has slipped out of her grasp. As we wait for the November 14th hearing, all we can do is speculate on what the court will find. If she's ruled incompetent, the trial will remain on hold, perhaps indefinitely. If she's found competent and allowed to represent herself, we may witness one of the most bizarre trials in recent memory. A convicted murderer trying to outmaneuver the legal system one last time. Either way, Lori Vallow Daybell's story is far from over, and the next chapter promises to be as unsettling as everything that came before it. I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to stay up to date on this case and others we cover, be sure to subscribe.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.